Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody say bless, say bless, say bless. Yeah! Bless.
Spiritual Sense Life Radio Podcast Show. This is your host, Tim the Overseer, and hopefully you've all had a blessed and wonderful day. I know that I've had a blessed and wonderful day. It's actually a nice outside. It's been real nice. I'm just enjoying this nice, beautiful summer weather. I love the summer. I love the heat. I prefer it over the cold and the cool seasons. I like the idea of the cold if I'm on the inside, but not if I'm on the outside. So hopefully you've all had a blessed and wonderful day. Hopefully you've had an even better spiritual week. I know that this week has been, it's been a good week. Just been a little trying a little bit. anyway, I've been blessed. Everything is good. Just want to take this moment, this time, just to express gratitude to the Most High. Thank him for all that he has done for me in my life. Thank him for you and what he's doing in your life. I thank him for salvation. Amen. We thank him for his son, Christ, Yeshua. Amen. As I stated before, some of you call him Jesus. Amen. I call him Yeshua. Amen. Instead of calling him God, I call him Yahweh. Amen. I just look at it. I just think of it the way I think of it. Amen. I want somebody to call me by my name. Amen. Or at least a more representative title of my name. So I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful for the blessings that I have. I'm grateful for the basic things in life, amen, that sometimes we kind of overlook. Our roof over our head, clothes on our back, shoes on our feet, food on our table, amen. We're not starving that much as in some places around the world. We live in a very wealthy country, probably one of the most wealthiest places on earth. Some people like to say it's the greatest country on earth. I wouldn't go that far. Amen. I would just say that's definitely the most wealthiest place on this planet. Amen. So we are very blessed in this country. So make sure that we are praying for those that are affected by the pandemic. Make sure that we are, if we have someone that we can reach out and be a blessing to, whether it be prayer, any way that we can help people out, make sure that we're doing so in any way that the Spirit is leading you to be a blessing. Amen. So let me also say, let me show you some love. So if no one has told you all today that they loved you, let me be the first to say that I love each and every one of you with the spiritual love, amen, from our Heavenly Father, which comes from above. Amen. We thank him for his spiritual love. Amen. The unconditional love. Amen. He loved us just because. Amen. It's kind of like a parent to a child. We love them just because they're ours, right? So it's the same thing with Yahweh to mankind. He loves us because why? We belong to him. He created us. So we are his, and that's why he loves us. And we are so thankful for his love. His love is so warm and so kind and so graceful and merciful. I'm just so grateful for my Heavenly Father, the Son, and the Spirit. I thank him. I thank the God he is for his love. And I bless and praise his holy name forevermore. All right. So greetings. Amen. Again, I'm glad that you're all back for another Daily Bread sermon and more spiritual food for the soul. And so hopefully you've all have been blessed by these messages I've been teaching and giving to you. I tell people, don't just take my word for it. Amen. Do your own study and research. Go back and research what I teach and, you know, add to your knowledge. That's what I want you to do. I've always taught and told people that for the past 20 years, always add to your knowledge. Go back and do your own study and research. For the Bible says, study to show thyself approved. Amen. It's not just for us as overseers, bishops, ministers, pastors, evangelists, teachers, to just know the word. It's for you as the congregation. Because if you don't know the word, it's kind of like, you know, in class. If you don't do your own homework, how are you going to pass? You can't rely on someone else to do the homework for you. You have to do your own work because you are rewarded for every single thing that you do in this life for Christ. For the scripture said it best, only what you do for the Most High, only what you do for Christ, our Savior, will last. Amen. So it's not about what Tim does. It's not about the time that I put into it. It's about what you also put into it because the Bible says to work out your own soul salvation. Okay, it's not the eternal salvation. That's not what Paul was talking about. Your own soul salvation, that you must work out the issues in your own personal life. Yahweh has saved you through Christ. He's giving you eternal life, but you must work out your everyday issues. If you have something with an issue against someone, if you have a bad habit that you need to conquer or overcome, you must work those things out on your own. And remember that you are rewarded for every good deed that you do. Amen. So with that being said, let's go ahead and get into the word. But before I do, I want to go ahead and read love. Of course, I try to make sure that I read love, the scriptures on love each show, which will be coming from 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 31, and into 1 Corinthians, the entire 13th chapter. Okay. So the reason says, but cover earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Do not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Amen. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Charity meaning love. Amen. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you right now. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for your word, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for the gift of life, dear Heavenly Father. And most of all, we thank you as your children for the gift of eternal life. We thank you for blessing us and keeping us and having your Holy Spirit to indwell us and to lead us and guide us, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for your love and kindness and your mercy, dear Heavenly Father, and your grace upon your children. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us and keeping us, dear Heavenly Father, and just protecting us from all hurt, harm, and danger, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for sending your angels, dear Heavenly Father, and sending your Holy Spirit to keep us, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this gift that you've given us, the Heavenly Father, the gift of eternal life, the gift of salvation, which is the greatest gift to mankind, the Heavenly Father. We thank you for restoring us and renewing us back to you, the Heavenly Father. We come praying this day, asking the Heavenly Father that your Spirit come in and lead us and guide us, the Heavenly Father. Bless your Spirit, the Heavenly Father, to bless your children, the Heavenly Father. Bless your Spirit to bless me, the Heavenly Father, that the flesh be removed and that your Spirit come in and teach the people, the Heavenly Father. We bless and praise your holy name forevermore. Amen. Amen. Feels so good, amen, to be here and to be a part of this. I'd like to thank Derek Oliver and the Chaos Radio team for this opportunity, for this platform, to allow us to reach so many souls. Amen. I hear from what I understand that his numbers have been increased. Our numbers have been increased on Friday nights and Saturday nights, and also from Sunday through Saturday. From what I understand, the numbers have been increased. We thank the Most High for that. Amen. For the word says that Yahweh added to the church, as he said, he added to the church daily. Amen. Daily. As he see fit, amen. So we don't want to take no credit. I don't want no glory, amen. I'm just a tool ready to be used, amen. So I don't want to be puffed up in any kind of way. I don't allow, or at least I try not to allow my head to get blown up, because it's not about me, amen. It's about his son and the sacrifice that he has made and that he has redeemed us back to the Heavenly Father. He has restored us, you all. Man, I can't tell you enough how happy I am for me, my wife, my children, family, friends, and loved ones. More people are coming in, receiving salvation. We're receiving good reports. We are so happy for that. Man, you just don't know how much that joys my spirit, because we're going to get to live for all eternity. I still can't wrap my mind around that. You're going to live for all eternity. All these things that these people are trying to do to make longevity in this life and to stay looking young as long as they can. I just can't help but to laugh at some of the things that I see on TV and in the world, because they just don't know. They don't get it. He's already given you that. You know, why are you going somewhere else spending $1,000 to change a look? He's going to change you in the twinkling of an eye, Paul said. He's going to make you immaculate. Then he's going to give you a garment, a beautiful white garment, and it's going to be so beautiful that the regular eye can't just set its eye on. You just can't look at it. That's why anytime, that most time when angels come into the appearance of man, they have to change their spiritual appearance, amen, so that man can behold them in most cases, amen, because they're so beautiful, amen. That glory that's sown in from the Heavenly Father, that light that shines on them, makes it kind of difficult for you to actually see him, amen, or see them. Amen. So without further ado, I just want to make sure that I kind of touch base on that. I just feel so good today. Hopefully you all are feeling good. If not, I'm going to be praying for you all. Amen. So I love you all. So let me just go ahead and also extend the plan of salvation. Let's extend salvation to you. I try to do it two or three times throughout the show, at the beginning, in the middle, and also at the end. I try to extend the hand of salvation to you, because I want people who are new to understand how salvation works. Because you want to know why? For as long as I can remember, my call in the ministry for the past 20 years has been salvation. I've been teaching the same thing for 20 years. No need to change. And that's how the Most High works. There's no change in anything. People say he's doing a new thing. He's really doing the same thing. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Amen. What he did back in the eternities is good for all eternity. Amen. And so no need for nothing new. Amen. If it is new, it's only by Yahweh. He's the only one that brings something new if he wants to. Amen. The Bible said there is what? Nothing new under the sun. Amen. It just used to puzzle me when I used to hear preachers say, oh, he's doing a new thing. Amen. I'd be wondering, well, what new thing is he doing? Because I'm reading the scriptures, and the scriptures haven't moved around or changed anything. So what new thing is he doing? I tell you, a lot of times you have to be careful who you listen to. Amen. So, amen. Let me get off my Bible. Amen. You know, I can get on my Bible sometimes, amen. But I want to extend the plan of salvation to you, which is coming from Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. I want to make sure that you understand salvation. Why? Because most people don't preach this in the church, amen, which amazes me, amen, because you must know how to become saved. You have to teach someone else. If you want your family members to be saved, you got to show them how to be saved. When the past 20 years I've been teaching and preaching. Amen. I like to know who I'm dealing with. So anytime I teach, I would ask someone not to embarrass anyone. It's not to embarrass anyone. It's to learn. It's to teach. Amen. I would ask them, if I was a sinner and I saw you going to church all the time, let's say I was your neighbor, and I happened to stop you one day and I was curious to say, hey, you know, what do I have to do to go to heaven? What must I do to be saved? Amen. I would ask this question in church, and the response that I would get would be amazing. This is from people who are aged people in the church, aged Christians or aged people in the church. When I say aged, I don't mean by their years. I mean by the amount of time that they've been in church. So they could have been in church all their life and maybe been just in their 30s. But the point that I'm making is their response was amazing to me because it had nothing to do with how we receive salvation. That means that the church is lost. Amen. And this is what Christ wrote to John over in Revelation chapter 1, 2, and 3. He said, write unto these seven churches. Because why? The churches were not adhering to sound doctrine. They begin to pick up false doctrine, doctrines of devils, making up their own doctrines. And I've heard this for years. People are making up their own doctrines in church, and this should not be, family. And as I said before, and I'll say it again, going forward, amen, I'll preach other things in the future after I get through a revelation, but my main message to the church, amen, to the lost, is that salvation, amen, you need to receive salvation. Repent today, not tomorrow. Don't wait to get right because there's no such thing as getting right. You can't get right. The Holy Spirit must come in and indwell you, and the Holy Spirit delivers you. Amen. You people teach that you have to get right to get saved. That is so not the truth. That is not even nowhere in the Bible. That's false doctrine. Amen. The way that it works, Romans 10, 9, and 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord, Yeshua, and shalt believe in thine heart that Yahweh hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Salvation is just that simple. I tell people all the time, salvation is easier than drinking water. It's easier than breathing air. Amen. Why? Because all you have to do is confess with your mouth and believe, and you're saved. It's just that simple. Amen. But the devil has snuck in. He's had a plan for thousands of years. He snuck into the church and put these hirelings, which are false prophets, into the churches to mislead people because they're chasing out the money and other idolatry things in the church. Amen. They're not there to teach the truth and to save souls. They're chasing out their own lusts. Amen. Their own personal lusts. So the Most High has sent those. He said, many are called, but few are chosen. Amen. So we are here to give you the rightly divided word so that you may receive salvation. Don't let nobody tell you that you're not saved once you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. I don't have a heaven or a hell. Amen. There's only one, amen, that does. And so he wants you to be saved. I want you to be saved. That's real true love. Amen. It's not about how much money you can give me and all this type of stuff. My rewards are in heaven, amen, because I know for a fact that he's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant, amen. That's what I look forward to, amen. And I'm not saying that I wouldn't accept the blessing. No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying I'm not going to put money or materialistic things over my Savior, amen, over my Heavenly Father and his Holy Spirit. Absolutely not, because he can give me far more than what any man on this planet could ever give me. Amen. For one, you're going to receive eternal life. You're going to receive a new form, a new body. You're going to have a renewed body. You're going to get to live for all eternity, which is more valuable than anything or any possession on this planet or that anyone can give you. Amen. Romans, the 10th chapter, verse 13, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's just that plain and simple. He says, shall be saved. He said, you might be saved. He said, well, if you come back and you do right, you may be saved. Or if you repent and come back to the church, you might be saved. No, he said, you shall be saved. It's a one and done thing. Christ's not going to keep going back to the cross and dying. No, he died on the cross one time. What makes you think you need to keep getting re-saved? I've never understood such nonsense in my life, amen, since I've been preaching and teaching some of the things that I hear of the pulpit and from some certain pastors. Just amazing. I mean, I'm thinking to myself, you have a church? People actually come and listen to you? And I'm not being slanderous or being mean, amen, because I know what the Bible says about touch not my anointing, amen, because I'm anointed myself. But amen, but when you come to misleading the Most High's people, Amen. I got to call it out. Amen. That makes no sense. That's not judging. That's the truth. Because we are not here to allow people to mislead the flock. Amen. So don't teach people that because it's not even scripture. Verse 14 of Romans, the 10th chapter, says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without, amen, a preacher? And as a preacher, we must do what? Study to show thyself approved. Amen. All right, so let me get off my Bible, but I have to extend the plan of salvation to you, to those who do not understand salvation or how it works. If they say, hey, I want to go to heaven, I want to be saved, simply confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. Romans 10:9-10. That's the plan of salvation. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10:10. Amen. Salvation is yours. It's free. It's the most easiest thing. It's the, let me put it like this. It's the best. It's the easiest and the best free thing that you're going to ever receive in your life. It's the best free gift that you're going to ever receive. You think Christmas gifts or something or birthday gifts or something is the best free gift that you're going to ever receive. Amen. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get into Revelations. But before I do, I want to call your attention. And you know what? I do have something I want to make some clarification on, because I've been teaching about the seven churches. We are actually finally finished the seven churches. Now we begin to enter Revelations, the fourth chapter, which is an interlude, amen, which is a pause before we get into the future of Revelation, the things that are going to come. As I told people before, Revelation is not for us to be afraid of. I don't understand why pastors and ministers have never preached. I've been preaching in Revelation for years, especially since I took some when I was in seminary, I took some eschatology courses, found it very interesting. My dad was the only pastor that ever preached on Revelation, which amazed me. I always wondered, why don't other pastors preach on Revelation? I began to learn that a lot of people were actually, for some reason, shied away from Revelation because of the fear of it. Well, Revelation wasn't given to us to fear. Christ gave it to John to give to the leadership of the church, to give to the congregation. Amen. So there's nothing for us to fear. So if you're a teacher or a pastor or a minister, anyone with a teaching title or a leadership title, I highly applaud you for being here. I thank you for your humbleness, for listening, and learn. Amen. Go back and listen to the show. That's why I do this. Amen. I don't withhold anything. It wasn't given to me to withhold. The Bible said it is more blessed to give than to receive. So it means that the giver is more blessed than the receiver. Amen. So we're thankful for that. So with that being said, I want to make a clarification with the seven churches, because I want to make sure that we're clear. So I want to go to Revelations. Amen. I got to move a little fast. Revelation is the first chapter, verse 4. And I want to read something to you. Amen. Revelations 1 and 4 says, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Amen. So the seven spirits is the Holy Spirit. Amen. So let's make sure we understand that. I'm going to clarify that here today in today's teaching about the Holy Spirit and the seven spirits, which again, represents is seven spirits, but there's only what? One Holy Spirit. Amen. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. So Christ wrote this message to the churches, and he gave it to John during the time of John. Okay? And so understand that there was, out of the seven churches, there was two that did not have, amen, I'm looking for my little notes. There we go. Amen. That did not have criticism or condemned, or they wasn't condemned. Amen. That was the church of Smyrna and the church of Philadelphia. The other churches, Ephesus, amen, they were no longer enthusiastic for Christ, meaning they had lost first love. They didn't want to go, and they wasn't just like some people do, not reading the Bible. When you first get saved, people be on fire reading the Bible every day, but over time that fizzles out. Amen. So I'm not going to go over all of them because I have to get into Revelation 4. But the point that I want to make, amen, because I've been teaching that out of the five churches, two candlesticks are burning. Now, the reason that I say that, amen, because I'm referring back to the past churches, because Christ says if you don't repent, and if you go back and research the history of the seven churches, the five churches fail soon because of why? Their practices, meaning that their candlesticks were snuffed out because of their practices, and Christ was not happy with their practices. In other words, so you have some churches that were practicing what? Idolatry. Some was practicing indifferences to people. They was being stuck up, apathy. They was mistreating people. You can't save anyone with these type of acts. False doctrines. You can't save people with this type of acts. These condemnations, amen, were not glorifying the Christ. So this is why the churches ceased to exist. That's why we say that there was only two candlesticks out of five burning. Amen. Now watch this. Amen. At this day and time, and in the now throughout the church age, because understand these seven churches represent what? A larger body of Christ, because throughout the church age, the body of the church is an entire body, and each individual person is a body or a church of Christ. Amen. Like I'm a church, you a church, but we all fall into one of these seven churches. Now watch this. Is salvation found in each church? Yes, it is. That's why I read you Revelations 1 and 4 to show you that the seven churches are before Christ. Amen. Meaning that there's a representation that the seven candlesticks are before the throne of the Most High, meaning that the seven churches exist, meaning that their lamps or their candles are burning. Why are their candles burning? Because there is salvation in every church. So let me give you an example, and I got to be real swift with this. Let's take 700 people, and we divide 700 people into the seven churches, meaning each church has 100 members, right? Now, whether there be 20% salvation, 80 or 90% salvation, there is still what in the churches? Salvation. And because of that, that particular church candlestick is burning. Now, I'm talking about representation of now before the throne of the Most High. Amen. That's why the churches were represented before Christ in heaven, because there is salvation. Amen. In the church. So what I'm saying to you, even though, let me give you some scripture, because I got to give you scripture, because a lot of times I don't like to just talk without scripture. Watch what it says. Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 13 says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Verse 14 says, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Amen. So in other words, there's going to be people that are standing outside that don't want to receive salvation. So the larger number of people are not going to receive salvation. But not only that, skip over to verse 21 of Matthew, the 7th chapter. It says, not everyone that sent unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name has cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? These are people in the church. Not everyone that goes to your church and sit on the pew with you and clap their hands are saved. I don't care if they're from the pulpit and they to the back of the church, they're not saved, because they don't understand salvation. They haven't been taught the rightly divided word of salvation. Amen. Or they just simply refuse to believe. They're just there just to be there. Amen. And this is what we're talking about. Now, does that mean that the church as a whole is lost? No. Even though the church that's going to go to heaven is a small percentage, I gave you the percentage. We're just going to round it up to 29%. We're going to say 29% is going to heaven. Amen. And that's just an example. Amen. That's based off of the division of the two candlesticks burning out of five. And I use that example because he said, I showed you in Matthew 7:13 and 14, that not many are going to be saved. And verse 21, not many are going to be saved. I remember when I first got saved, I remember this pastor said on the radio one time, he said he only believes about 20% is what he said of people are going to heaven. That was so amazing. That was a shock to me when I first got saved. I'm like, what, 20% of the people that's in church are going to be saved? And now that I've been studying and looking at Revelation, I said, you know what? He was off by about 9%, but according to my calculation, but he's right. Overall, he's right. Overall, I'm right, meaning that it's not going to be very many saved. More people are going to be lost. And I know that's kind of bad. But if you read if you study the seven churches, you'll understand why we come to that conclusion. That he says, I stand at the door and knock. Amen. If any man open up, I will come in and sup with them. I will come in and eat supper, dinner with you. Amen. Not very many people will open up the doors, especially at this day and time. So, amen. I just want to make sure I make that clarification. Maybe I'll kind of do a little bit more on that one day, but I have to get into Revelation chapter 4. I just want to make sure as we now are leaving the seven churches, I made that clarification. Amen. So let's go ahead and get into the vision of heaven in which John saw. Amen. So watch this. Now, if you look at Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, it says, after this I looked. Amen. And behold, now remember, Christ had him to write the things that he witnessed and saw. Now this is thousands of years ago, and John does the best that he can. Now remember, you know, nobody can describe heaven. I don't believe there's not too many things on earth that would help us. Even if we was to be called to heaven now, we wouldn't do too much of a better job than John in trying to describe heaven. Because why? Paul said it best. Eye, meaning your eye vision, has not seen, nor has any ear heard, or has it entered into the hearts of man what he has for us or what's in heaven. We don't know what's in heaven. We can't comprehend heaven to this life. We can come and try to explain it, but we have a very hard time trying to get our loved ones to understand what we saw in heaven, because heaven is so immaculate. It's beyond anything that you could dream or imagine. So John did the best that he could in his time to bring us back what he saw, the vision of heaven. So right after he wrote about the seven churches, Christ gave him the message to the seven churches. Now watch this. He says, look, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. So now we've dealt with the churches, and then at that time, which was present to John, amen, which is passed to us now. And then now John is going to deal with the future things to come. Amen. So Christ said, now I'm going to show you some things that must come to pass. Amen. Now that we are done with the seven churches. The seven churches got the messages. Get right. I'm on my way back. Now we're fixing to get into what's the things that are to come. And remember, as the church, Revelation is not for us to fear. For those who are unbelievers, oh, you best believe, Christ and Daniel the prophet prophesied and said it best. They said it was never a time like it in the past, nor up until the present was there any time like it, nor any time afterward will it be anything like it. But it's going to be just 7 years. Amen. Just 7 years. We can't fathom the possibility of how horrible something can happen in 7 years. But I can sit there and tell you, family, church, man, I am so grateful for my salvation that if he was to come back today, I won't be here. Amen. All glory to the Most High and His Son and the Holy Spirit for that, for saving my soul. Amen. I say and pray the same for you as well. So now what I want to do is call your attention. I want to take a look at some scriptures. I took some notes, so I just want to kind of look at, and I got a lot of scriptures. I don't know why. I have a lot of scriptures in most time, but all glory to the Most High. I end up not using them because for the sake of time, so I just try to use a few of them. And so let's see what it says. So understand, we're going to deal with where it says, come up hither. John was basically caught up, just like we will be caught up as the church into heaven. So this means when we see come up hither, that tells us that John was changed from his natural form, what? Into a spiritual form so that he could go into heaven, so he could witness these things which he was to see. We know that can't no flesh enter into the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because this flesh has sin. We have sin. So the Most High is not going to allow us to come into heaven, amen, as a fleshly body. So John had to been changed just as we shall be changed. And in a twinkling of an eye, he was caught up to heaven, amen. And him being changed, what does that mean? 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verses 51 and 52. He had a new form so he can go and see what was in heaven. And it says in verse 2, and immediately I was in the spirit. Amen. You see that confirmation? I was in the spirit. He was no longer in a fleshly body. Amen. For Christ had changed him so that he could behold the things and come back and write to us the things which were to come, even in our time and also in the future. These events have not yet taken place. John says, behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Amen. Who was that one that sat on the throne? Who is John talking about? Amen. So let's look at some scriptures to see who he's talking about. This is the appearance of the Most High. Amen. Yahweh, our Heavenly Father. And I tell people, man, it's like your parents. We don't fear our parents. We love our parents. Our parents love us. We love our children. Our children love us. Amen. Well, at least that's the way it should be. And I know, excuse me, in certain cases it may be different for everyone, but that's the way it should be. And I'm using this example because we should not fear Yahweh. We should not fear our Savior Christ. We should not fear the Holy Spirit. They love us. We are on the same side. Amen. We're on the same team. We are believers. I am royalty. You are royalty. I'm a king's kid. I like to tell people I'm a king's kid. Amen. So imagine it being like that. Imagine that you're a child of a wealthy king. Well, that's how it is. They love you, okay? And the heavenly host loves us. I love you. We love one another. Amen. This is a family, okay? So let's make sure we get that understood, amen, because I don't want some people to think otherwise. So let's call our attention or your attention. Let's go to the book of Ezekiel. I love the book of Ezekiel. Hadn't really studied it much or got too deep into it, but I've read through it, amen, some pretty interesting things about the book of Ezekiel. So I encourage you, if you hadn't really read the book of Ezekiel, read it. It's a very interesting, very interesting book. You'll find some pretty interesting things in the book of Ezekiel. So going to Ezekiel, the first chapter, what do I have written here? Verse 26. Let's see what Ezekiel 1 and 26 says. It says, and above the firmament, amen. What is the firmament? The sky, the heavens, that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. Amen. So you see that Ezekiel is doing the exact same thing that John the Revelator is doing. He's doing what? The best that he can, amen, to describe what he saw. Amen. So he said, well, the best thing that I can give you was the appearance as a sapphire stone, which is a beautiful stone. It says, and upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. Amen. So this is really something to me because when studying this and researching this, I found this very, very, very interesting because the Most High created us in what? His image. We look like him. Do we look exactly like him? Or did he create us to look exactly like him, meaning 10 fingers and 10 toes? And we don't really know exactly because Christ said it best. Christ says, no man has seen the Most High any time. He has not yet revealed his face. But he also said that if you have seen me, you have seen what? My Father. So that leads me to believe that, yes, we do look like the Most High. I thought that was amazing because a lot of time people make these depictions of angels in the Bible or angels which look nothing like the angels from what I've studied and researched in the Bible, which makes a lot of sense because the angels, they don't look like us. We look different. And I can kind of see why, you know, there may have been some questions. The Bible says, you know, what art man that thou art mindful of him? That's why he loves us so much, because he has created us, what, in his image. Amen. Okay. So I think of it as a child. I know that especially as men, we kind of take pride when we have children. In all cases, you know, most men, it doesn't matter if it's a male or a female, but women do too. But it's funny how our kids will look like us, whether it's the male or female. And so with that being made, you ever hear people say, man, you look just like your mom or your dad. And I see people who look like just like their parents, or you'll see them and you know they're a relative of a certain person because they look just like them. I get that all the time. Sometimes when I'm in the store, somebody will see me and they'll keep staring at me. And most times it's a guy because, you know, I have brothers and that, you know, my brothers were known. And so they look at me and say, man, you one of them Jacksons. And it's funny because they're older than me. And I know that. Well, you know, one of my older brothers. I've had that my whole life, heard that my whole life. I think that's amazing. But I just want to just share that with you. Genesis, the first chapter. And I believe looking at verse 26. Give me one brief moment to go there. Amen. I have to kind of use my application for that. I'm kind of using the new school way for right now. Amen. Genesis first chapter, verse 26. Let's see what it says. It says, and Yahweh said, let us make man. Who is us? Well, I remember when I first read that, when I first got sad, started getting stunned about it. I said, us? Go just by itself. Who is us? Excuse me. Amen. When you study and you do your research, amen, you'll find out that he's talking about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they are one. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the sea, over the fish of the sea. I won't read the rest of it, but I just want to read that in the very first portion of verse 27 says, so Yahweh created man in his own image. In the image of Yahweh created he him, male and female created he him, he them. So I thought that was amazing that mankind or man, amen, looks like the Most High. Amen. And so with that being said, when you see Christ, you have seen the Father. Amen. But have we actually got the chance to see the Father yet? No. But we know in Revelation, the 22nd chapter, he said that he's going to allow us to see him. I thought that was so beautiful. I thought that was amazing. Like, man, we're going to actually be able to see the Most High. That is so awesome. That is so neat. And we know that Christ gives a description of himself over in Revelation, the first chapter, how he looks. So we know how Christ looked, right? He had hair like wool, white as snow, and he had eyes of flaming fire and feet like unto brass as if they burned in a furnace. Amen. So, amen, he has a dark complexion. He has hair like wool. So his father looks the same as him. Amen. Now, some people like to say, well, you know, you kind of say he's black. Let's make a clarification, okay? He created us. Man created this colorism thing. The Most High never said that. Back in ancient times, people never identified themselves by their complexion. Amen. They may have recognized the different complexions, but they never made it a thing like people make it now. But let's make that clarification, okay? So he is what he is. That's what he told Moses, I am that I am. And he has created what? Adam in his image. And we see mankind, amen, made in this image, amen. But, yes, is this how he looks? Yes. So if you want to get into the race and the coloration thing, I'll let you do that. But this is how the Bible describes, and this is the interpretation that I get from it, amen, that the original man had hair like what? Wool. Amen. He had a what? Dark complexion, because he said as if it burned in a furnace. Amen. So he has a dark complexion. Amen. So if you want to say he's black or African or whatever, I'll let you do that. Amen. I don't get into the colorism thing. Amen. I understand it. I know it. I got it. I've been knowing this for more than 20 years, but amen. But the point that I'm making, because I don't want to make that the center point, is that we understand, amen, how he looks. Now, why is this important? I have to cover this because we're in Revelation. When Christ returns, amen, a lot of people are going to be shocked at how he looks, amen. And the Antichrist is going to play on that, amen, to try to make it seem as if that wasn't the real Christ that came, because we know how Christ, the image that's being portrayed of Christ at this day and time is what? It is a false image of Christ, amen, which is who? Who ushered in that? Lucifer did. The devil did that. He changed the image of Christ, amen, to what? Again, he's the father of lies, the father of deceit, to deceive the nations, because when he come down, he's not going to look like a lot of people expect him to look. Amen. Now, we're going to move forward. Back over to Revelation, the 22nd chapter, because I want to show you something real quick. Amen. Amen. Revelation, the 22nd chapter, where am I looking for? Amen. I may have to come back to it. There it is, Revelation 22 and 4. It says, "And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads." So he's going to allow us to see his face. Isn't that amazing? Now you say, well, can't we just see him? No, because he is so holy, so righteous, that he can't stand any sin, anything evil, that the angels, they cannot look upon him. That's why they have those wings to cover their eyes. And some of them have so many wings over the body that when he shines his brightness and all his glory, they can't. No one can look upon the Most High. They can't see his face. Amen. Only Christ is allowed to see his face, but everybody else is not allowed to see his face. The Holy Spirit knows how he looks. Amen. The Christ, but Christ said, "I have seen him." Amen. But no man has seen him. Amen. Now, some people debate on whether the angels have actually seen his face. I have not really studied that deep into the Bible to see if the angels have actually seen his face. But, and I just want to share that with you, amen, but we are going to get to see his face. That's the most important thing. We will get to see his face. So back over to the scripture, amen. So this is the image of the Most High, that what? We are made in his image. Ezekiel said that he looked like what? A man. In the likeness of a man, meaning that he looks like a man. Amen. And so I thought that was amazing to see that and to read that in scripture that, okay, he looks like us, because the angels, when you begin to read about the angels look nothing like us. But you see many images on so many places and books and around the world that angels are portrayed to look like man. Angels don't look like us. Amen. There are some that have a face like a man, but their bodies look very different. Now, let's go ahead and move on for this. I have a lot to cover. Revelation 4, chapter verse 3. "And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, and sight like unto an emerald." Verse 4, "And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold." Amen. Okay, so in verse 3, it's still kind of dealing with the Most High. We see that John says a sardine stone. Amen. So they both use these beautiful stones to describe what they saw. I said, man, I can't come to any other way to tell you how he looked. But they were saying that he was so beautiful to behold that he reminded them of these. They reminded each person that saw him of a stone. That's the best way that they could describe him. And said there was a rainbow about his throne. Now, this kind of reminds me of the rainbow that that the Most High, when he promised mankind that he would not ever what? Flood the earth again. Amen. We know that he made that promise. So when we see a rainbow, he has a rainbow about his throne. Amen. So verse 4, the 24 elders is a mystery. Amen. Some believe that the 24 elders are symbolic of the church. Amen. Some believe that they're actual they're like a celestial council of angels in the church, like the cherubims or the seraphims. But that's a huge debate among the church leaders, people who study the Bible, scholars, if you want to call them that, people who just study the Bible. There's a huge debate. I don't really debate about what the 24 elders are, but most people lean to them being, this is symbolic of the church after the rapture, that is going to be the church. And what I would do, I would give you a scripture that's kind of idealistic of what David did. It's 1 Chronicles, the 24th chapter, verses 1 through 19. Again, that's 1 Chronicles, the 24th chapter, verses 1 through 19. And when you get the opportunity, just kind of look through that. Because David, he had kind of like set up like, it's kind of like a council of elders is what he did. But when you get the opportunity to read it and study it, I don't really make a huge determination of who the 24 elders are. It could be the church. It could be angels. However, there are some things in Revelation that are still highly debated and not understood because it's a mystery. Amen. It's still a mystery to us at this day and time. But we can say this. It will be revealed to us when we go to heaven. We will know exactly who the 24 elders are, whether it's the church or if it is 24 angels or some type of spiritual council that is up in heaven. But watch this, amen, verse 4 of Revelation, the 4th chapter. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. Amen, that's beautiful. Amen. Verse 5, amen, kind of moving. Verse 5 says, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of Yahweh. The 7 spirits. So now we have to ask ourselves, what are the 7 spirits? Amen. The 7 lamps that are burning before the throne of the Most High. What are they? Amen. This is, we understand that Revelation is a symbolic book, but amen, this is talking about the Holy Spirit, amen. And this is where people get the sevenfold ministry from. So if you hear about the sevenfold ministry, it's talking about the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of the Lord, amen. The Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord, amen. This is what it's in referencing faith. So churches should operate in what? The Holy Spirit. That is our character, is to operate as the Holy Spirit. So we are to operate in what? Understanding and wisdom and knowledge and those things of that nature. Go with me to Isaiah. Let's go over this, because I actually covered this. I can't remember if I covered it on one of my spiritual freestyle Friday nights, or if it was during the time I was talking about the 7 churches. I think it was one of the early churches, because I had begun to talk about the 7 spirits. I think it was over in Revelation, the 1st chapter. I kind of covered this a little bit on it. But go over to Isaiah. I won't lose my notes there. Got a lot of notes and a lot of scriptures and a lot of things to keep up with. Isaiah, the 11th chapter, verses 2 through 3, covers the Holy Spirit, amen, and the 7 spirits of the Most High. So let's take a look at that. Let's read Isaiah, the 11th chapter, verses 2 through 3. So let's read what it says. Amen. Well, let's just read verse 1, because it really refers to Christ. It says, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. This is referring to Christ. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. What is this saying that's going to rest upon him? The Holy Spirit, amen, is going to what? rest upon him. Amen. And I know that some of you all can refer some scriptures over in the Gospels to that. Amen. But it says that the Holy Spirit is going to rest upon him, which is the spirit of what? Wisdom. Amen. Are we to exercise this? Surely we are, as the saints, as the church. We are to exercise what? The Holy Spirit. And the what? Spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might. Amen. It says, and might, the spirit of knowledge, and the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Amen. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall judge, he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Amen. He's going to judge with what? Through the Holy Spirit. He's going to use these things when he judges. Amen. And so as the church, when we are judged, amen, we must understand that when we are judged, remember, our judgment is not unto condemnation, but our judgment is unto reward. So he's going to try every reward, amen, in the fire. And so how is gold tried? It's tried in the fire. We only want pure gold. We don't want no false materials in the gold, nothing that's not good in the gold, no metals, no rocks. We only want pure gold in the gold. So how is it tried? It's tried in the fire. So our works are going to be what? Amen. Tried in the fire. Amen. So our judgment, when we receive our rewards, remember that when Christ judges with the Holy Spirit, amen, he's going to use these seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit, which is where people get the sevenfold ministries from. Amen. So he's going to use the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might, the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of the fear of the Lord, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of wisdom, and the spirit of the Lord. Amen. So just kind of remember these things, amen, as we are the church, we are to operate in the spirit. Amen. So when we are dealing with people, be led by the spirit, not by your flesh. Don't come down on people. The Bible said that we are to speak the truth in love. People, when they're in church, they love to beat up on people and abuse their authority. Amen. You know, I remember when I was when I used to pastor church, it was always this way. I always talked to my leadership and told them, hey, you know what? Talk to people how I talk to you. If I'm not running down on you, don't run down on other people. Because why? We all want to be treated like adults, for one, and we all want to be treated with respect and love. And so the Bible, Paul tells us that when we deal with people with the truth, but deal with them in love as well when we talk to people. We're not to belittle people as the church. We're not supposed to talk down to people and make people feel bad. This is the church. This is the one place that we're supposed to come and feel comfortable and be uplifted and feel loved, not abused. Amen. This is not some corporation or some. That's the thing. You know, you got a lot of people who want to run the church like a corporation. And don't get me wrong. I understand that you have to handle your business and just handle business in the church. But it doesn't mean that you have to run it like a corporation, because this is an organization, not a corporation. And so it's a difference. And so you want to do all things what? Decent and in order. Amen. So that is the seven spirits, which is the Holy Spirit. Amen. Which is before the throne of the Most High. It is before Yahweh. Amen. In heaven. And also Christ, because we know that Christ is said at work on the right hand of the Most High. And this is a blessing. Amen. So I just want to share that. I like this, the seven spirits, again, which is where people get the sevenfold ministries from. But are you operating in the sevenfold ministry? Are you using the sevenfold ministry the way that it's supposed to be used? Amen. Or are you falling after the doctrines of false doctrines and doctrines of devils and things of that nature? Amen. So we're going to move forward into Revelation, the fourth chapter, verse 6. Amen. Now, as we begin to go, I'm not going to say, I'm just going to hold off on it. I'll tell you about it when I get there. Amen. So let me show you. Well, I'll just give you the scripture. 1 John 5 and 7. I can read. I got a list. I got some time. Amen. It's the top of the hour. I got some time. Amen. I got some time left. I'm going to go to 1 John, the fifth chapter. Verse 7. It says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, which is the Son, which is Christ, Yeshua, and the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. So we have Yahweh, Yeshua, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And it says these three are one. Amen. I just want to share that with you. So if you want to know what that was in the Bible, there it is in 1 John verses 5 and 7. So this is what John saw. He saw the three that what? Bear record in heaven. Amen. That's going to be so beautiful to be there and to be before our Heavenly Father. Man, I can't wait. You're just going to just get to worship him. You're talking about praise and worship. That's going to be some real, true praise and worship. Not folks scooting across the floor and act like they shouting. You know, there's going to be some real shouting in heaven, some real praise and worship. Amen. Some real getting down in heaven. And so it's going to be beautiful. And I'm not saying that people not really praising and worshiping here on earth. But you know what the Bible says, that those who worship him is worship him in what? Spirit and in truth. Amen. We don't want nobody up there faking and shaking. It's going to be only the real saints. Amen. The real true believers that's real, that really love him. That's going to be there praising him and worshiping. And you see the elders, how they cast their crowns and how they going to praise him here in a minute. Amen. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I want to share that with you. So Revelation 4 and 6 says, and before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes and before and behind. I thought that was amazing. Amen. I want to share another scripture with you. I think I had the scripture written down. I guess I did write down the scripture. Amen. See if I can find it. Well, we'll come back to it. I think there's another scripture I want to share with you about the what John saw. I thought this was amazing when John said before the throne was a sea of glass like unto crystal. What most people depict this as or believe this to be, it's kind of like I wouldn't really say a floor, but I guess it's like a floor. In other words, it was like water, but it was calm and it was still. It was so still that it was like John said, it was like glass. So it was almost like they were walking on like a kind of almost like an invisible floor. Like it was something kind of like that. But John said what he saw was kind of like glass. I thought that was just so amazing. So we just can't wait to see how heaven's going to be. So remember, John is doing the best that he can to describe what he saw. I just thought that was so amazing. Like, wow. So he said there was like a sea of glass like unto crystal. I bet that's going to be so beautiful to imagine how beautiful heaven is. And that's the only thing we could do to get close. Just imagine. And we have John giving us a description of heaven. We try to put in our own thoughts. And I tell you right now, man, we can't come close. Even at this day and time, we can't come nowhere close. We would do no better than John did 2,000 years ago if he was to call us up to heaven. Now we see heaven, and John is doing the best that he can to use earthly things to describe what he saw. Now watch this. He said, in the midst of the throne, amen, we're in the throne room of heaven. Amen, the throne of the Most High, the throne of the 24 elders, and the throne of Christ. Amen, and the Holy Spirit is there. And he says, and round about the throne were four beasts, amen, full of eyes before and behind. Now, John calls them, amen, beasts. So what did he see? Verse 7 says, and the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle, amen. So these descriptions are believed to be so either seraphims or cherubims, called cherubims and serpents. These were very, very powerful, high-ranking angels in heaven. Amen. In fact, we know they have to be powerful because there's only four of them around. What? Of all the angels, there are four angels around the throne of the Most High, and they had eyes all over them. Amen. They could see everything. It wasn't nothing going to get by them. You weren't going to sneak in. Amen. It wasn't nothing going to come to the throne. But these angels were very, very powerful angels. And so there are so many references as to what some people believe that these angels mean. Some refer them to like Christ in the four Gospels, like the lion meant the Lion of Judah, Matthew. And then you had the calf the one that was like the calf or a bull, but the scripture says a calf, like servanthood, meant servanthood, like Mark, the book of Mark. Or then they had the one that was like a man. He looked like a man, and so he represents the Son of Man, the book of Luke. And then the one that was like an eagle, St. John, the heavenly. And so there are some people that like to reference these different animals. And there are some more other things that I researched, some other information that I have that I won't cover right now. But so many people, you know, kind of try to determine, well, what was the meaning? Because Revelation is a very very symbolic book when it comes to its interpretation. And again, a lot of people research and they study, and by the Spirit, we do the best that we can to give you. But that's why I encourage you to do your own study and your own research. Amen. But I know that heaven is going to be so beautiful that I just can't wait to be there. Hopefully you feel the same way. Hopefully you're looking. Amen. Every day we are to be looking for Christ's return. As we said, watch. So remember, when you're watching, you're looking every day. It's not, oh, I'm looking now. I'm tired of looking, so I'm going to look 2 years from now. It's not the way it works. You're supposed to be looking every single day of your life. We're supposed to be looking for the return of Christ. And as I stated before, this should be the only message that should go forth. Amen. Is that we're talking about salvation and the return of Christ. Amen. So let me share this. Some more scriptures I want to share, but there's one in particular that I want to share with you before I go into praise and worship. Amen. Because Revelation, the fourth chapter, verses 8 through 11, is all about praise and worship. So real quick, I want to share with you, since we're reading 6 and 7, we're talking about the four beasts, I want to go over to Ezekiel, and I read this many, many years ago, early in my salvation. This has really, really blessed me, man. I was so blessed by these, and they could be a mixture of seraphim and cherubims. We don't know, or it could be just the seraphims or just the cherubims. We don't know, because I'm just going to give you the scriptures for the seraphims. The seraphims were over in Isaiah, the sixth chapter, verses 1 through 3. I may have some time to read it, but the one I want to really read to you is Ezekiel. We're going to do the best that we can. We're going to go ahead and read it. Amen. We're just going to have to just do what we got to do. Amen. I'm trying to get it done. So I'm going to read it real briefly. I want to read this to you, Isaiah, the sixth chapter, verses 1 through 3. Here it is, verses Isaiah 6, 1 through 3. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. Amen. Isaiah saw him too. Amen. High and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Amen. That is so beautiful. You know, and wait till I read Ezekiel here in a minute. I'm going to really show you something. But when it says holy, 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 sometimes you kind of wonder. The reason that they say it three times is because maybe the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. I just thought that was so neat. But it's such a blessing, man, the way these angels operate. Now I'm going to go into it. But the reason I want to read that to you, and I just want to really point out, that was kind of interesting how Isaiah said that he saw the Most High, amen, on the throne. So I just thought that was so neat. Now, I want to call your attention to Ezekiel, the first chapter, and we're going to look at verses, amen, I didn't know it was that far over. It's Ezekiel, the 10th chapter. Amen. It's been a while since I read Ezekiel. Ezekiel, the 10th chapter, verses 15 through 20. I thought this was so amazing. Man, I read this so many years ago, early in my salvation, when I was a babe in Christ, and this blessed me so much. I was reading the Old Testament, and man, this was just so beautiful. And I was like, wow, this is so amazing. So Ezekiel, amen. Man, I want to go up to verse 12. Yeah, let's go on up to verse 12. So Ezekiel, the 10th chapter, verse 12. Let's go ahead and read. It says, and their whole body, and their backs, and their hands, and their wings, and the wheels were full of eyes round about, even the wheels that they four had. As for the wheels, it was cried unto them in my hearing, O wheel, and every one had four faces. Amen. Ezekiel saw what? The wheel in the middle of a wheel. Amen. Remember that? It used to be an old song back in the day. My dad used to say, he's always talking about that. And there used to be an old song. Think about the soul steers. I don't know if you all, any of y'all are old school listening, know about the soul steers. I grew up listening to the soul steers. There's a wheel in the middle of the wheel. Ezekiel saw the wheel in the middle of the wheel. Amen. Verse 14 says, and everyone had four faces. The first face was the face of a cherub, and the second face was the face of a man, and the third, the face of a lion, and the fourth, the face of an eagle. Man, that's amazing. So remember, we talked about what a while ago? We talked about the seraphim. Now we're dealing with the cherubims. Okay, and the cherubims were lifted up. Now watch this. This is the living creature that I saw by the river of Chebar. And when the cherubims went, the wheels went by them. And when the cherubims lifted up their wings to mount up from the earth, the same wheels also turned not from beside them. When they stood, these stood. This is amazing. And when they were lifted up, these lifted up themselves also. So, for the spirit of the living creature was in them. This is so amazing. And let me kind of break this down just a little bit because I don't have much time, but I want to break this down. When they move, they move at the same time. This is how powerful the angels and the Holy Spirit is because, man, let me just finish reading. It says, and then the glory of the Lord departed from off the threshold of the house and stood over the cherubims. And the cherubims lifted up their wings and mounted up from the earth in my sight. When they went out, the wheels also were beside them, and everyone stood at the door of the east gate of the Lord's house. And the glory of the God of Israel was over them above. This is the living creature that I saw under the God of Israel by the river of Chebar. I knew that they were the cherubims. And you can read that on out. But, you know, the amazement of when if one turned, the other turned. They were just so in sync with one another. This was so amazing that how they were just led by the Spirit, and they were one, even though they were four different creatures. Amen. They were four different cherubim angels. These angels were so in sync with one another. And one day I'll kind of get more into that, but I just thought that was so neat, and I just want to share that with y'all. But you study and read it on your own time throughout the week. Hopefully I'm giving you some word that's blessing you. Amen. We're going to go ahead and move forward. We got four more verses. We're going to read them real quick, and we're going to be out of here tonight. This is Revelation, the fourth chapter. Amen. This is Tim. I'm really enjoying this. I'm loving this. I'm loving you guys. I thank you for taking out of your time. We're thankful for you all that have increased. And those of you that are listening, amen, that he may bless you, that you may be blessed spiritually. Read these scriptures throughout the week. Again, Revelation is nothing to be afraid of, man. You should be tearing up Revelation. Man, Revelation is for us. The only people who should fear Revelation is the unbelievers, amen. They have no idea what's coming, amen. But that's why we want people to become saved, because we don't want you to be here to suffer the things that's to come, amen. Verse 8. Amen. Of Revelation, the fourth chapter, it says, and the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes with them, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God, amen, Yahweh, amen, Almighty, which was and is to come. Amen. He is eternal. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And it says, and when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure are and were created. Man, that is so beautiful. You know, when I read that many years ago, it brought tears to my eyes because we don't praise him enough. We have no idea what real, true praise is. Now, these 24 elders cast their crown. Beautiful gold crown. You know, some of us are cut up. I ain't throwing my gold crown. You know, some people are cut up. They cast their crowns at his feet and just praise him for all eternity. And these angels praise him day and night. Now, are they forced to praise him? See, that's what got me. No, they're not forced to praise him. They choose to do this on their own. Because why? He is worthy to be praised. We should be praising him, and praise should continually be what? In my mouth. Praise him throughout the day. Not just when you come to church. Not when you're going through stuff. You should praise him when it's, whether it's tribulation or not, whether the things are challenging or whether things are good. We should praise him, should continually be in our mouth. Man, he is worthy to be praised. We serve such an awesome. That's why I say, man, when we get to heaven, you're going to be crying, just being so grateful that you made it through all this and that you're just going to be just praising him. You, man, there is no time in heaven. You may be praising for 1,000 years. You look up and 1,000 years may have been passed by. But he is worthy of the praise. These angels worship him day and night. They don't stop. And John uses reference day and night, not saying that there's time in heaven, but he is saying, according to us, man, they never did. John probably like, are they going to ever stop praising him? No, they don't ever get tired of praising. Because why? He is worthy to be praised. He is more than worthy to be praised. That, I just thought that was so awesome that I just wanted to share that with you. Because the humbleness of these angels, whether they were seraphims or cherubims, these powerful angels gave him all the praise and all the worship. They worshiped the Lamb, the Holy Spirit, the Most High, the Heavenly Father, Yahweh, that sat on the throne, because he is good. We know that he is a good God. Amen. And that's why sometimes it makes me wonder, what was Lucifer and the other angels thinking to actually rebel against the Most High? Man, I couldn't do it for nothing. I've been one of the angels like, nah, y'all go right ahead. I'm going to be right here praising the Most High. Amen. Giving him all praises and honor. Because you had to know that if you rebel against a God that's so powerful, so awesome, that it wasn't going to be good. And you know that he's holy and righteous, and he can't stand no sin, no evil thing, that there was going to be some punishment and repercussions coming from rebelling against the Most High. You knew there was going to be some punishment. And then you knew it was going to be eternal. Now, why would I want to suffer on all eternity in the lake of fire? Not hell, in the lake of fire. See, Revelation says that hell shall be cast in the lake of fire. So you know the lake of fire has got to be much worse than hell. He's going to take hell and cast hell into the lake of fire. So I don't want to go to hell or the lake of fire, nor should you want to go to hell or the lake of fire. Because we know that hell is unimaginable. So you can only imagine what the lake of fire is going to be like. So the Bible says he created, hell was made, basically, exists for the fallen angels and Lucifer. It wasn't made for man, but man began to follow Satan and rebel against the Most High. And so this is going to be your punishment, is to be separated from the Most High for all eternity. Who wants that? Amen. You got to praise him because he's worthy to be praised. He's an awesome and loving God. You know, Revelation 1:18 says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. He says, amen, and have the keys of hell and death. Man, we are on the winning side. Amen. Y'all better quit playing and come on and get ready for this glory-bound train. Amen. When the Most High sent his son back to get the church, don't you want to be there? And not only that, don't you want to reign for 1,000 years? I was just thinking about that today. I said, man, I'm going to get to come back to the earth and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Oh, that's going to be beautiful. For 1,000 years, we're going to rule as kings and priests on this earth. Amen. You're going to have your crown. You're going to be shining. people are going to be looking at you like, boy, they are beautiful. Don't you want to be a part of that? Why wouldn't you want to be a part of that? Why would you want to miss that chasing after something here on earth? I'm not saying not to be ambitious and not to follow your dreams, whatever your dreams are. Follow your dreams. But don't sell out. Don't put the Most High second. He is second to none. He said, there'll be no other God before me. I am the God. He said, I have created all things. Watch this. Amen. I still have some more scriptures to get into before I shut down. Go. Let's take a look at Revelation, the 8th chapter, 5 and 8. Revelation 5 and 8, just the next book over. It says, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the four and 20 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Amen. See, he loves your praise and worship. He loves your prayers. Amen. That's why Paul said to pray, we should pray what? Without ceasing. He loves our prayers. Amen. He loves that. You're getting rewarded for everything that you do for Christ. Why not do it? You're going to get all kind of beautiful gifts in heaven that nobody can steal or take or rust. It won't never rust. You get a crown that'll never rust. You're going to get some beautiful things, amen. You're going to have it going on, and I want to be a part of that, and you're going to be a part of that. Let me call your attention to Ephesians, the 3rd chapter. We're about to shut it down, amen. Ephesians, the 3rd chapter. Got a few more minutes. I'm going to shut it down. Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, verses 9 through 11. And to make all men see, what is the fellowship of the mystery? Which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in Yahweh, who created all things by who? Yeshua Christ, our Savior. Amen. He created all things by Christ, the Word. That's why he said when he spoke, let there be light, what happened? Amen. The sun shined. Light was created. Light existed. That's why he is called the Word, because when Yahweh speaks, it exists. That's why we have to be careful when we use our words, because our words manifest life. Amen. When we speak those things as though they were, as though they be. In other words, you speak things into existence. So don't be out here cursing and using bad language because you're cursing yourself. You're manifesting the thing that you're putting out of your mouth. But if you give praise, you are manifesting praise and beautiful things in your life. Amen. So that's why we have to be careful what we say. Amen. Now watch this. Amen. Where was I? Verse 10. It says, Ephesians 3:10 says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of Yahweh, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Yeshua, our Lord. Amen. Now I want to call your attention to Colossians, amen. I got to look at my notes. Colossians, the 1st chapter, verse 16. What does it say? It says, for by him, who is him? Christ. Amen. For by him were all things created that are in heaven. Ain't that something? Because didn't he say, I'll go to prepare a place for you? Christ created all these things. He's always existed. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit have always existed. People ask silly questions. Well, who created the Most High? Well, that doesn't make any sense, because if someone created the Most High, it would have to keep going. So that's why he says, I am that I am. I am Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. And before me, there was none. And after, there shall be no more. It is him. He has always existed. All powerful, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. All-knowing, all-powerful, all-present. He's everywhere at all times. He is the all-powerful God. And the problem with man is trying to put the Most High in the box with you. He ain't in the box with you. These are spiritual beings. You are flesh. You have limitations. He has no limitations. He has no beginning or the end. We can't understand him, nor will we ever understand him. It's not meant for. So that's what Lucifer failed, being prideful, being smart. See, he failed. Now he's going to burn for all eternity. Now everybody that's following him going to burn for all eternity. Makes no sense. Amen. Watch what it says. Amen. I'm sorry, I got away from the scripture. Verse 16 of Colossians says, 1 and 16 says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether by thrones or dominions, or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Amen. Which calls me back to Revelation 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. And he says, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Amen. All glory to the Most High. I had a friend that asked me a long time ago. I remember reading the scripture when I first got saved back in like 2000, somewhere back there. And I remember I had a good friend of mine. She asked me, she said, Tim, I want to know my purpose on earth. And I looked at her, said, I want to know what am I placed here for. I said, well, sister, it's Revelation 4:11. You're put here to worship and praise the Most High. I remember that 20 years ago I told her that. I said, that's our purpose. Our purpose is none other. Now, you may have some side things that you want to do. You may want to go to school, open up a business, but none of that negates your eternal purpose. Your eternal purpose is to serve the Most High and to rule in the kingdoms of heaven for all eternity. You're going to be with him for all eternity. He created you for his purpose. We don't have the say-so in that, nor do you need to say so. The angels have been with him for an eternity. Those angels ain't been complaining. They seem to have no problem with it. He prays them day and night, saying, holy, holy, holy. They don't have a problem with it. They cool with it. But you had some, amen, want to be smart, want to be their own gods, but you see where it got them. I'm going to say this real quick. It's like if you work in somebody's company. It's their company. It ain't your company. You can't go in there changing things and changing the rules and run it the way you want to. They're going to fire you. That's what happens. Hey, this is his world, not ours. It's his. He ruled and created all things. And for the most part, he loves each and every one of you. I love you all. We'll be back next Saturday. Be Yahweh's the Most High will. We'll be getting into Revelation, the 5th chapter. Hopefully some things were said today to bless you spiritually. Hopefully you guys are learning. I know that I am learning as I'm teaching and studying and doing more research. It's been some years since I've taught in the church in Revelation, probably about somewhere between 5 to 10 years, because most churches are afraid of Revelation. I don't know why, but I remember when I used to always teach the people about Revelation. They loved it. They learned. And I told people, they said, I mean, we're always afraid of Revelation. Revelation is not for you to be afraid of. It's to bless you. There's blessings in Revelation for us. The great tribulation, yes, it is going to be horrible. But guess what? He's going to keep us. See, we're not going to be here to witness that. We're not going to have to go through that. So hopefully something was said to bless you, family. About to shut it down and close out. Remember, if you want to be saved, all you have to do is read Romans 10:9-10, confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. You don't have to wait to get to the church. You don't have to wait to go to your pastor. You don't need no permission from no man. You get saved right there where you at. You can say it to yourself, and you can speak it out when you go in your room by yourself. He loves you. I love you, family. Remember that you are royalty. Family, will be back next week at 6 p.m. Central on Saturday. I'll be back on Freestyle Friday, me and my co-host, at 9 p.m. next Friday night. If you want to tune in, we'll be freestyling on some word. So I just want to thank you, family, for listening. Remember, you are blessed by the best, the Most High, and you are royalty, family. I am royalty, family. And family, until next time, stay blessed and bless the kingdom. I love you all, and you all have a good night. Be blessed. Love you.